Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way. This is where you are going to continue to learn, apply, and to pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but thrive during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries. And as always, it is an absolute honor to have you with us again. It really is. Now, what's on our plate for our 30-minute time together today? Well, first of all, during our radio seminar time, we're going to take a close look at the seventh and final piece of God's spiritual financial armor. Oops, I know, you thought there were only six. Well, we're going to talk about it. Next, we need to alert you to a recurring credit report scam. And then during our Q&A time together, we're going to take a great question from a pastor and another one from a couple of concerned parents. And finally, during our Minute with Maxwell, John Maxwell is going to share with us his thought on the word education. So, stay tuned, won't you? This is going to be a great time together. And as we start, well, let me start as we always do. Let me open us up with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for meeting with us again here today. Please, will you please continue to give us ears to hear all that it is that you have planned for us to your glory? In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Now, recall that during our radio seminar time together, well, we have been digging deep into what the Apostle Paul has to teach us about God's spiritual armor, which can be directly applied to our finances. And we started out, we saw that according to the Bible, that every financial problem you ever thought you ever had was really never a problem. It was always a symptom, and the problem was spiritual. And when we learn to deal with the spiritual problem, well, our financial symptoms, well, they just seem to fly away. And what is one of the best ways to deal with our spiritual problems that leads to financial issues in our life? Well, we need to learn how to pick up and put on God's spiritual armor, starting with the belt of truth, which is, of course, the Bible. You see, when you put on God's belt of truth, when you prayerfully determine to make the Bible a priority in your life, well, then you are starting to get dressed for spiritual and for financial warfare. But listen, Paul tells us, that there is much more to God's armor than just the Bible. It is a great starting place, but there is more. There is also God's breastplate of righteousness. You see, this is where God helps prepare you for battle with the absolute assurance that you are right with Him because of who you are in Jesus Christ. And then, well, then you discover that you better make sure you have on your shoes of peace whenever you get set up to go into spiritual warfare, right? Now recall that would be the peace of God. That would be the peace that surpasses all understanding, that gives you a great footing to both stand your ground and to advance and take back ground you've previously lost. And then next, of course, was his shield of faith, which we discovered must be regularly soaked in the Word and anointed by the Holy Spirit. Then we have the powerful two-edged sword of the Spirit. Remember, that is the aptly spoken word of God that the Holy Spirit brings to your mind at exactly the right time. And recall, all the way along the line, we're remembering two very important facts about God's spiritual armor. And the first is that it's His armor. It belongs to Him. And secondly, each piece of His armor is a highly effective offensive tool and a defensive tool. So that's where we've been. Now let's wrap up our radio seminar time together by taking a look at the seventh and the final piece of God's spiritual armor, which is the lance of prayer. Now I know, I can hear you. You're saying, now Bob, I have read Ephesians chapter 6, and Paul only talks about six pieces of armor. What do you mean by saying that there are seven? Ah, yes, my friend. Yes, my friend. We have to talk about God's lance of prayer. So let's do exactly that. And as we start, it's important to note that almost everyone agrees that the Roman soldier had, listen, seven basic weapons in his suit of armor. The six that we've already talked about and his lance, all right? And we know that Paul tells us, remember, Paul tells us to pick up and to put on the whole armor of God, which by definition would then include the lance. Now, that being a fact, Paul does not mention the lance. Nevertheless, he does talk about prayer and supplication. He says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Now, is there a link between the last piece of armor and prayer and supplication? Well, maybe yes, maybe no. I believe so. I believe so. But whether or not there is, it is clear that Paul full well intends for us to consider prayer as we consider the offensive and defensive parts of God's spiritual armor. So let's dig in here a little bit. Now, first of all, while we know a couple of things about Roman lances. First, we know that some were used as offensive weapons and some were used as defensive weapons. And actually, what we know is that the Roman soldier had an arsenal of lances to choose from, depending upon the circumstances. Some of them were short for close-in offensive and defensive fighting, but others were long to strike at a longer distance. Now, what do we already know, and what can we learn about what Paul has to say about prayer? Well, let's take a look. First of all, let's consider what Paul tells us when he tells us how often we should pray. Paul says that we are to pray on all occasions. Now, this is a Greek word that means, well, we are to pray at each and every occasion, at every opportunity, every time you get a chance, at every season, at each and every possible moment. You see, the picture that Paul is painting here is that you and I are to pray anytime we get a chance, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, at every opportunity, in every season, at every possible moment. My friends, you and I are to seize the time to pray. But then Paul also tells us to pray with all kinds of prayers. You know, just as there were many kinds of lances for the Roman soldier, there are many kinds of prayers for us. You know, God has made many kinds of prayer available to you and to me for different purposes in our spiritual battles, to include our financial battles. Now, no one kind of prayer is better than any other kind, okay? Each type of prayer serves a different purpose and is necessary for the life of faith. As far as I can see, the New Testament uses six different words to describe six different types of prayer. And the first is the prayer of surrender and consecration, which is the one that Paul uses here in Ephesians 6:18. This is the most common use of the word prayer. As a matter of fact, we find it's used about 127 times. Now this brings me face to face. This type of prayer brings me face to face and eyeball to eyeball with God in an intimate relationship. You know, it ought not to be mechanical. It ought not to be some kind of formula. You know, it is a vehicle that, well, it lifts me. It can lift you to a place in the Spirit where we can enjoy a close and intimate relationship with God. This type of prayer includes the idea of sacrifice. It includes the idea, the thought that I am willing to surrender. I'm willing to yield everything in exchange for answered prayer. And this word for prayer also conveys the idea of consecration. This means that I freely give my life in exchange for his life. And it also includes the idea of thanksgiving. Listen, I thank God in advance for hearing and answering my prayer. Now, overall, I would submit to you that a good translation of this verse would be something like this. We are to come face to face with God and surrender your life in exchange for His, consecrating your life on an ongoing basis, and be sure to give Him thanks in advance for moving in your life, not only to bless you, but also to change you. Okay? All right. That's the word that Paul uses for prayer in Ephesians when he's talking about the lance of prayer. Now let me share with you some other thoughts about prayer, okay? First of all, when it comes to prayer, the Bible tells us, and we've heard preached many, many times, that there are some things that can hinder us when we pray, okay? And I think one of the ones right off the top is unbelief. Unbelief hinders prayer. Now, we know that because the Bible says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. That's from Hebrews 11:6. So the first thing that can hinder our prayer is unbelief. Now, also, sin in our life can hinder our prayers. David said it well when he said, if I cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. You see, God will hear your prayer of confession. But if there is sin in your life, ongoing, unconfessed sin, He's not going to answer your prayer according to the Bible. And then there's, of course, when there is, if you're married, if there is a discord, if there's a disconnect between the husband and wife, Peter said that your prayers are going to be hindered. And unforgiveness, that's another thing, right? Unforgiveness can hinder our prayers. We know in the Lord's Prayer, we are told to, He forgives us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, those are things that hinder our prayer life. But listen, let me tell you, there are also some conditions for answered prayer, okay? And first, there is what is called the law of asking. The Bible says, ask and it will be given you. Matthew 7:7. It says, ask. It doesn't say visualize. It doesn't say picture it in your mind. You know, I see bumper stickers all the time that say we should visualize a world of peace. Now, I disagree with that. That's mind control, my friend. Verbalize your request to God. I mean, have you ever wondered why God gave us speech? Well, I got to believe the main reason is so that we can pray. We can communicate with Him. You see, speech is the mirror of our soul. I mean, listen, what about this? I mean, why don't dogs and horses speak? Why don't they talk? Well, because they're not made in the image of God. God Almighty is not some sphinx sitting up in the heavens. Listen, He speaks. He talks. He answers. He is alive. He is the God who is there when you need Him to be there. And when you speak to Him, according to the Word, He responds. Now, according to His infinite power, man, I'm telling you, ask big, right? Knock God off His throne by asking things that will stagger the human mind. I attempt to do so much, so great a thing for God, that unless He comes through, you're going to fall flat on your face. So the first condition for answered prayers, we got to ask. It's the law of asking. Now, the second condition for answered prayer, listen, is asking according to the will of God. You see, we pray sometimes. We pray, oh, Lord, if it's your will, this, that, or the other thing be done. Well, I got to tell you, you know what? The implication is that if we can't know the will of God, right? Or that the will of God is so mysterious that we're never, ever going to understand it. Well, my friend, that is simply wrong. Because God's will is consistent with His Word. You see, you can know the will of God by reading the Word of God, the Logos Word of God. Remember, that is your belt of truth that supports all of your other pieces of armor. So yes, it is possible to know God's will. And third thing I would suggest is that we need to pray in faith believing. Matthew 21:21 says, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to this fig tree, but you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive what you ask for in prayer. Now, lastly, last thought I'd give you about conditions for answered prayer is to pray specifically. Know what you want and pray for what you know. Pray so specifically that when God answers, you're going to know that God sent it and it wasn't by some random chance, okay? My friend, praying about the financial areas of your life, listen, that's not optional. However, prayer is the most ignored piece of spiritual financial armor, okay? It is not optional, but it's so often ignored. See, your most powerful resource in any area of your life, including your financial, is communion with God through prayer. The results are often greater than you think of, than you could ever imagine, above and beyond what you can even imagine, think, or even anticipate. You know, I've known some people, and I've been guilty of this in my own life as well, that sometimes people see prayer as the last resort to be tried when everything else seems to fail, right? Have you ever been there? Well, I tell you what, according to the Bible, we ought to see prayer that it is a thing that comes first and that it comes often, because God's power is infinitely greater than ours. So it only makes sense to rely on Him, to rely on it, especially because God encourages us to do so. All right? Good thoughts on things that hinder prayer and conditions of answered prayer. But now let me give you two final thoughts on your overall spiritual armor, okay? The armor of God, the armor that God gives you, well, it's perfectly balanced. It really is. They are offensive weapons that enable you to demonstrate and to reinforce the devil's already secured defeat. You can use his weapons on the offense. But listen, they are also defensive weapons that are going to protect you and give you confidence and assurance as you move forward in your spiritual growth. And also remember the two basic truths that we've talked about. Remember, real spiritual warfare, to include financial warfare, has to do with taking authority over your mind and your flesh, as well as over the works of darkness. All right? Now, finally, no matter what financial challenge you may be encountering right now, your ultimate victory depends upon whether or not you choose to use the spiritual weapon, the weapons that God gives you, that He puts into your hands, that He expects you to pick up and put on. Therefore, my friend, if you want to live as more than a conqueror in this life, Ephesians 6:13 must define the way you face every situation, to include every financial situation. Ephesians 6:13 says this, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. All right? Boy, these have been great times together with the Lord, where He has shown us how to get His spiritual armor up and operating into our lives and into our finances. Now, just in case you need to go back and review a little bit, you're going to soon be able to go back to our website and re-listen to any or all of our radio times together. We're going to have that up on the website soon, and I'm going to let you know when that page is ready. Now it is time for another scam alert. Let me ask you this. Are you trying to buy a home, a house? Are you trying to get a new job? Are you trying to take out a loan? Well, then you know that you need to care about your credit score, your credit report, correct? Well, scammers know this as well. And they are using related scams scare tactics to get consumers to give up their personal sensitive information. Let me tell you how this scam works. You're sitting on your computer one day and you receive an email from what appears to be one of the top credit reporting companies in the country, like TransUnion, Experian, or Equifax. And the first thing that you notice is that the email contains the logo or the logos of those companies, and it claims to represent itself to the point that it looks legitimate. So what do? Well, you open the email and you begin to read. And as you read, you discover that the email is telling you that there's a problem with your credit score, okay? Maybe there's a problem because of a security breach that you've known nothing about. And so, as a result, your credit score has been updated. Now, if you want to find out what happened, if you want to find out what your new credit score is, well, then what you need to do is to simply click on a link or download a PDF to view that new credit report, that new credit score. And that's the problem. When you click, you would unknowingly download malware to your computer, giving scammers access to your whole system and all of your personal information. Now, how are you going to avoid this credit score scam? I'm going to give you four ways. Number one, and no surprise here. Number one, you ought to be suspicious of any unsolicited emails that you get, okay? If you even begin to think that the correspondence is not real, well, then what you need to do is to confirm it by visiting the company's official website, or you can give them a call. Listen, just be sure to find the phone number, the real phone number on the real website. Do not use the phone number on the potential scam email. Number one, you got to be suspicious. Number two, don't ever click on links when you're not sure of who the sender is. Never click on links in suspicious emails or text messages. Just don't do it. Number three, don't give in to fear. You see, scammers, well, they want you to panic and take immediate action. So what you got to do is you got to stay vigilant. You got to ask questions and you got to do your research before you make a decision. So you got to be suspicious. You don't click when you're not sure what you're clicking on. You never resort to fear. And finally, really what you need to do, you need to make it a habit to review your credit report once a year. You have to order a free credit report once a year, and you can do that from each of the three major reporting credit agencies, or you can use annualcreditreport.com. That's www.annualcreditreport.com. Review your reports to be certain that none of them include accounts that you have not opened, all right? Now, this is a scam that seems, well, it seems to roll around every couple of years or so, and it's starting to roll right now. So what you need to do, you need to prayerfully be alert. Don't click on the links when you have any doubt of who's sending it, and don't panic. Don't act with fear. And take a look. Listen, really, download your credit report. Take a good look at it at least once a year. All right, let's take a look at a couple of good questions and responses that I think might be helpful to you. The first one is from a pastor, and I got to tell you that this question is one that we receive quite often. Here's the question. Reverend DeBob, I am a pastor, and quite often members of our congregation give us junk and then write it off on their income taxes. I'm telling you, we get worn out cars and worn out clothes and other items that we have absolutely no use for. I have a real problem with this. What are your thoughts? Well, my friend, I got to tell you, I often ask Christians who are content to give God junk if they would like to get junk back from God, right? I got to suspect not. I don't believe that a church should be a refuge dump for unusable stuff. Larry Burkett, many years ago, Larry Burkett used to say something like, if you can't use it, refuse it. All right? I mean, why not consider setting up a screening committee to evaluate all non-cash gifts? I mean, if you don't have an actual use for the item or it's not readily saleable or convertible into cash, then don't accept it. I mean, you can find groups like the Salvation Army, the Goodwill Industries, and a whole lot of other groups refurbished used furniture and clothing and appliances stuff, and you can, you know, turn them into assets. Refer the donors that want to give you junk to these organizations, all right? Good question, good question. Now here's a second question that, and again, we get this one not so much, but every now and again. Good question. Dr. Louder, my husband and I are middle-class parents. We have a nice income, we have no debts, we have money in the bank, praise the Lord. Here's our question. How much should our children know about our finances? I mean, we are concerned that we might create the false impression that we are rich. Okay, well, good question, good question. And I got to tell you that I believe, according to God's word, this is truly a matter of personal opinion because I just think it's personal opinion. Okay, so let me give you my personal opinion. And that is basically, I believe it is best to be totally honest with your children, age appropriately honest, as a matter of fact, probably best in their mid to late teen years. My friend, if you are earning and if you are giving and you're saving and spending according to God's plan for your life, which it appears to be the case here, well then why not show your children your plan and help them develop and to start to live on plans of their own? Why not help them develop positive expectations of what can happen if they learn and apply biblical financial principles, all right? Honestly, wisdom is a blessing at any age. I mean, isn't that what it says in Proverbs 16:16? How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver? My friend, these are two great questions for you to prayerfully consider. Now, let's wrap up our time together today with one of the highlights of all of our times together, which of course would be our Minute with Maxwell. Let's see what John Maxwell, the thoughts that he can give us on the word education. The word for today is education.
Hi, John Maxwell's my name. Welcome to A Minute with Maxwell. Today's word is education. I've got some of that. I've got 3 degrees, plus I think I have 11 honorary degrees. So I've lived in the education world. In fact, my father was the president of a college. So I kind of have it down, and I've got so many valuable lessons out of the things that I've learned in life. But there's one thing I really wish that in education we could kind of have a breakthrough, and that is the fact that even after we have a degree or after we've been certified in something, it's not like we stop and celebrate and say, okay, I'm done with that, but that we never really stop learning. We may stop getting a formal education, but we never stop reading, learning, growing. I read one time, this is unbelievable, that over 60% of the people when they graduate from college never read another book. Well, that doesn't sound right to me. Here's what I know. I learned a lot in my schooling, but I even learned more in evaluating the experiences of my life and growing on a day-to-day basis. So whether you've got a lot of education or a little bit of education, I guess the question I've got for you today is, are you still learning? And even more important than are you still learning, off of that learning, are you improving? Again, my name's John. I'm glad you're with me today.
Thank you, John. And that just about wraps up our time together today. Remember, we talked about God's final piece, His seventh and final piece of spiritual armor, the lance of prayer. We alerted you to a recurring credit card scam and what to do about it. Hey, listen, Pastor Bill, if you can't use it, refuse it. And finally, we know that we need to continue our education. My friend, I want to thank you for being with us today. And as we close, well, let me close us in prayer. Father, I thank you for bringing us together again today and for each of the days to come to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we're going to see you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom God's way.